Hello, I'm Trevor Hoskisson. Welcome to this Motivational Mindset program, which will provide you with some of the latest cutting-edge tools for staying motivated to release excess weight and also achieve other major goals in your life. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist at the Harley Street Hypnotherapy Clinic in London. I specialise in weight reduction, and I also work as a psychological advisor to ProNocal, the leading weight loss company, who are also based at Harley Street, London. I'm a master practitioner and trainer of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and hold qualifications in life coaching and health coaching. The techniques I'm going to share with you today are the latest cutting-edge psychological tools for improving performance and developing potential. If you put these simple techniques into practice, you will be unstoppable in everything you want to do, not just weight loss. The majority of these tools are based on neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP for short. I often describe NLP to my clients as hypnosis, but without the deep trance. But it can also be defined as the study of excellence and how to reproduce it. The official definition of NLP is the subjective study of experience. NLP can also be defined as the study of excellence. Now, success leaves clues. If you were to copy or model is the NLP term, if you were to copy or model someone who was being successful, then you can be as successful as they are. And that's really how NLP was developed. The two people that developed NLP are Richard Bandler and John Grinder. And what they did was look at what the best therapists in America were doing that were giving them such good results. And they wanted to incorporate all that into a single system that subsequently became known as NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. The three therapists that they studied were Virginia Satir, a family therapist, Fritz Perls, a psychologist who developed Gestalt therapy, and Milton Erickson, a clinical hypnotherapist. Now, Milton Erickson was practicing hypnosis from the early 1920s right up until the early 1980s when he died. When he started, he used to use a long script that he had written specifically for his clients. But after about 30 years of experience, he was able to cut it down to about 3 pages. And then after about 50 years of experience, he could cut it down even further. Eventually, he found that he didn't actually need to put someone into a formal hypnotic trance. He could just tell them a story without going into the trance, and they would accomplish what they wanted. An example would be if someone came to see him to stop smoking. He'd tell them a story about a dog that he'd seen in the park, and the dog was walking around with a bone in its mouth very, very proudly. And then the dog got thirsty, but the dog couldn't drink any water because he'd got this bone in his mouth. And he'd spin this story out over about 15 or 20 minutes. And then he'd say to the client, "That'll be $100, please." And the client would look at him and think, "Well, he's a nice old gentleman, but I think he's a bit senile. You know, I've come here to stop smoking, and he hasn't said anything about cigarettes." And they'd pay over the $100 and leave the consulting room and never smoke again. Such was the power of the story that Milton Erickson had told. So anyway, Bandler and Grinder looked through all Milton Erickson's scripts, and they isolated 19 different language patterns, which subsequently became the foundation of NLP. NLP has been developed much more, though, over the last 40 years. And it's one of the best techniques there is for making change in your life today. As humans, we are designed and engineered for happiness and success. But as a result of childhood conditioning and other negative life experiences, we become programmed for failure. NLP is the best way to rewire yourself for happiness and success. And so these tools that I'm going to share with you today are all taken from NLP. Now, motivation is largely controlled by your mindset. Mindset can be defined as a fixed attitude, disposition, inclination or habit determined by beliefs, values and rules. mindset affects the results that you get. Two different people can do almost exactly the same thing, but get totally different results. And it's all down to their mindset. Your mindset determines the actions that you take, and your actions produce your results. The results you get feed back directly into your mindset, which then determines the actions you take, and so on. So if you've got limiting beliefs that are holding you back, then you have poor expectations. Poor expectations lead to self-defeating behavior and produce poor results. And poor results reinforce the limiting beliefs that you have about yourself. Fortunately, it's the same for positive or empowering beliefs. If you start off with positive beliefs, then you have positive expectations. Positive expectations result in self-motivating or self-actualizing behavior, and this tends to give you really good results, which then feed back into the positive beliefs, making those positive beliefs even stronger. Now, we're actually born without any beliefs, values, or rules. They collect largely at an unconscious level as we grow up. Our beliefs are ideas or concepts that we hold to be true and are based on five areas of our lives. The first is the environment, newspapers, TV, etc. The second is past experience, that's growing up basically. The third is education. The fourth is life events, the results we get from doing things. And the fifth area is creative thinking. Now, beliefs don't have to have any basis in truth, although we do need evidence to hold a belief. This means that you can actually believe anything that you want to, and I'll say more about this later. Values are based on what we have around us, and rules are nearly always unconscious and control everything we do at an unconscious level. They usually make it very difficult to be happy and very easy to be angry and fed up. But these are easily reversed when you become aware of your rules and how to modify them so that they serve you. Of these three components of mindset, beliefs are the easiest to change and produce the quickest results. Now, the first tool I want to look at is visualization. Everybody uses visualization, but most people do it in a negative way. This is also known as worrying. Why not visualize everything going well? It takes a lot less energy than worrying, and worrying can make you physically ill. Worrying is pain suffered in advance for something that hasn't happened. Now, the author Mark Twain was an expert at negative visualization. At the end of his life, he wrote, "I am a very old man and have suffered a great many misfortunes, most of which never happened." I'm sure that we can all identify with this statement. Now, the way that you visualize positively is just to imagine things going well rather than imagining them going wrong. Before you visualize, it's good to take 3 deep breaths and to hold them, and then as you release them, think to yourself, "Relax." And if it's safe to do so, you can close your eyes, but this isn't absolutely necessary. It's easier to actually visualize things on the screen of your mind with your eyes closed, but as I say, it's not necessary. So take those 3 deep breaths and then see or picture yourself as you want to be: slimmer looking, healthier, happier, and being totally in control of your life. And use your imagination to get a very clear picture. Perhaps you'll see yourself wearing the clothes that you desire and looking really good in them, walking on the beach, feeling really great and proud of your trim, toned and flexible body. Imagine yourself with much more energy and vitality, being able to move around with greater ease and less effort, walking along, swinging your arms, with a spring in your step. See yourself looking at a reflection of you and seeing a slimmer you, or whatever it is that will let you know that you've achieved your weight-related goals. Make this image as clear in your mind as you possibly can. And use all your senses to see the things you see. Make the images sharper. Make the colours brighter. hear what you hear. Perhaps the congratulatory words of friends or family as they compliment you on your progress since you've started the lunchbox diet or other weight reduction program. And most importantly, feel how good it feels to be your ideal weight. Feel those feelings of pride and achievement now. And that's it. That's how you visualize. You visualize what you want rather than the things you don't want. Now, I just want to say something about limiting beliefs and how you go about creating empowering beliefs. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I want you to write the answers down. Be as honest as you can, and don't write down what you think the answer should be. Write down the truth. So what do you believe about yourself? Some people describe themselves as winners, others as losers. So what do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about life? Some say life is hard. Others, life is full of opportunities and possibilities. Or it's what they make of it. What do you believe about life? What do you believe about being fit and healthy? Some say it's absolutely essential. Others say it's easy for some, but not for me. So what do you believe about being fit and healthy? What's been stopping you from achieving your ideal weight? The most common answer here is that they lack motivation or discipline. So what's been stopping you from achieving your ideal weight? And finally, what phrases and questions do you find running through your mind on a regular basis? Psychologists call this internal dialogue or self-talk, and they found that in the average person, 77% of self-talk is negative. We wouldn't talk to our worst enemies the way that we talk to ourselves. So just write down those phrases or questions you keep running through your mind on a regular basis. And while you're doing that, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about internal dialogue and the easiest way to change it. And most people are actually unaware that they talk to themselves anyway. But the key thing is to become aware of it. Now, some experts say that when you become aware of it, you start analysing it and you make it positive. Now, this is one of those things that's very easy to say but very difficult to do. I find that the best way to deal with negative self-talk is to interrupt it with the thought, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And you just repeat that. It's very easy to remember. It's incredibly empowering. Now, your mind is constructed such that it cannot hold a negative thought and a positive thought at the same time. The positive thought will always replace the negative thought. So this is the best way to stop negative thought processes. It's a bit like turning the channel on the TV. If there's something going on that you don't like, then you switch channels. And as I say, this one short statement or affirmation, I can do it, is, I think, the easiest and simplest way to stop those negative thought processes. Now, from the questions I've just asked you, you should be able to identify a few of your limiting beliefs. And what I want you to do now is to look what you've come up with and write down what the opposite is and why the limiting belief is untrue and the opposite is, in fact, true. Now, here's some examples of empowering beliefs. I am empowered to get the results I want. I am enjoying the lunchbox diet. I release excess weight easily. Every day, in every way, I'm getting lighter and lighter. Every day, in every way, I'm getting healthier and healthier. Every day, in every way, I'm getting more and more disciplined. Now, you can choose any of these empowering beliefs and use that to support you and to keep you motivated, or you can modify these empowering beliefs to suit yourself, or you might be able to write down something which is even more personal to you. But you can believe anything that you want, and you will generally find evidence in your life in the past where it's been true. And if you can't, you can actually just imagine that it has been true in the past. Now, your unconscious mind can't tell the difference between a real experience and a vividly imagined experience. So just vividly imagine that that belief has been true in the past, and then you can hold that belief. Now, using empowering beliefs is a really good technique that you can use in every area of your life, not just for weight loss. And I often suggest to my clients that they write out a list of goals that they want to achieve, and then they ask themselves, what do they need to believe about themselves to be able to achieve those goals? Now, beliefs are incorporated best if you repeat them in your mind just prior to going to sleep and on waking up in the morning. They should be said with real energy and feeling. Now, Thomas Edison said, never go to sleep without asking a favour of your unconscious mind. So always remember to program your unconscious before you go to sleep. Whilst you're having a good night's sleep consciously, your unconscious will work non-stop on bringing that belief into your life, answering that problem. Now, these empowering beliefs that I've just read to you, they're also examples of affirmations. Affirmations are short positive statements about yourself. Now, your potential as a person is unlimited just with the use of affirmations. Now, some psychologists would say that there are quicker ways of making change, for instance with NLP and clinical hypnosis, but generally you have to go and see an expert. With affirmations, you can come up with the affirmations yourself. You don't have to go and see anyone. Now, they work a little slower. They might take a couple of months to work, but they're very, very powerful tools for making change. Now, there's three P's to writing affirmations. They must be positive, they must be present tense, and they must be personal. So they always begin, I am, or I can. You always say them as if you've already got them. For example, I'm so happy and grateful. I am my ideal weight. You say it as if you've got it. You don't use future tense. You don't say, I'm so happy and grateful, I will be my ideal weight. When your unconscious mind hears the word will, it thinks to itself, will, that's in the future. Don't need to do anything about that yet. Whereas if you say it as if you've already got it, I am my ideal weight, then your unconscious mind will go to work immediately to ensure that it's doing everything it possibly can to make sure that you are your ideal weight. And the third P is positive. You always express affirmations positively because the unconscious mind doesn't process negatives very well. It can process negatives, but often makes mistakes with them and just eliminates them. If I say to you, don't think of a purple tree, the first thing you think of is a purple tree. So with affirmations, you would never say, I'm so happy and grateful, I'm not stupid. Your unconscious mind would just eliminate the not, and you would in effect be saying to yourself, I am stupid. Now some people say to me, well Trevor, I don't really think I can say to myself, I'm so happy and grateful, I love my job, because I'm lying to myself. Well, you're not lying to yourself. You're telling the truth in advance. Affirmations are so powerful that they will bring about the change that you want in your life. In the case of a job, you'll either come to like and love your job, or you'll change your job and do something that you do enjoy. And so it will come true over a period of time. So never use that excuse that you're lying to yourself. Affirmations work. They're very powerful. They do take a little bit of time. Now the next NLP technique I want to share with you is the power of association, or if you want it more simply, the power of rewards. Most successful people never stop to pat themselves on the back, let alone reward themselves. But this is the most powerful way of keeping yourself motivated. And the best way to use rewards is to have a list ready so you've always got something to reward yourself with. Now, I'm not saying that you fly off to France every weekend if you've stuck to your diet. Some of the best rewards don't cost a lot. Flesh-cut flowers in the house, buying a glossy magazine, buying a book or a DVD, or maybe just sitting in the park reading a book. These are all examples of good rewards. And what I'd like you to do is to take out a piece of paper and just write down 6 rewards now that you could give yourself for making good progress with your weight loss program. Now, I'm not suggesting that you reward yourself every day, but if you go 3 days or 4 days and you've stuck to your program, then give yourself a nice reward. Now, it's important that this reward isn't food or alcohol related. I know it's obvious, but most people get this wrong. So write down those 6 rewards now. Good. And what I'd like you to do is to go on adding to this list over the next week or two, so that you ultimately end up with a list of maybe 30 or 40 or 50 rewards or things that you really enjoy doing. Now, it is possible to use negative rewards also. I prefer to keep things positive, but negative rewards can be quite powerful. And what I mean by a negative reward is not doing something that you might enjoy if you have failed to stick to the program. Now, with negative rewards, it's okay to use alcohol and food. So let's say you hadn't been too good with your diet over the week, then you wouldn't go to the pub on the weekend. Now, as I've said, I prefer to keep everything positive. But some people are more motivated by the fear of losing something than they are by the pleasure of gaining something. You know what sort of person you are. I would urge you to keep things positive, but if you are more motivated by the fear of losing something, then you can experiment with negative rewards. Now, the fourth technique from neuro-linguistic programming that I want to share with you is anchoring. Everyone who is in the know uses anchoring, and it's one of the first techniques that you learn when you study NLP. You'll see many famous speakers anchoring themselves when they're up on stage. As soon as they're stood behind the dais, You'll see them make a movement as if they're going to adjust their cuff, or maybe stroking an earlobe, or doing some other inconspicuous act. But in actual fact, they're triggering an anchor. They're firing a neurological response that they've set up prior to the event, and this fills them with whatever emotions they want to recreate. For public speaking, it's probably feelings of tremendous confidence and power. Using this technique of anchoring, any strong, powerful emotional response can be recreated instantly within the body. It's possible using this technique to generate feelings of happiness, success, and determination to stick to the lunchbox diet. And you can use it to generate feelings of confidence or any other empowering feeling that you want whenever it's needed. Now, there's three ways to anchor in an emotional response that you want to recreate at will later. The best way is when you're experiencing an emotion at the time and you want to recreate it later. You might be at a really fantastic party, feeling full of energy and life, jumping around, having great fun and enjoyment. You can actually anchor that feeling into your neurology there and then. And this is actually the best way to set up an anchor. The second best way to set up an anchor is by recalling a time when you felt the emotion you want to recreate. And then the third way is by imagining what it would be like to feel the emotion you want to recreate. When I'm working with people who are lacking in confidence, they sometimes say to me, "Well, Trevor, I've never ever felt confident in my life." I always say, "Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sure are you that you've never felt confident in your entire life?" And they'll say, "Oh, 10 out of 10. And I'll turn round to them and say, "Well, that sounds pretty confident to me." So this is how you set up an anchor. Think of a feeling or an emotion that you want to recreate in a particular situation. With weight reduction programs and exercise programs, that emotional feeling that you may want to create is usually something like determination or success. So think of a time in the past when you felt a feeling of success or determination, or imagine what it would feel like. Remember a specific time. And now go back to that time. Go right back to that time. Float down into your body and see what you saw, hear what you heard, and really feel the feelings of being totally successful or totally determined. Now make the image sharper. Make the colours brighter. Make the sounds clearer. And double the intensity of those feelings of success and determination. And when the feeling's at its most intense, you want to create a physical association by making some sort of unique gesture. The best gesture, I think, is actually touching your thumb onto the opposing wrist. It's very indiscreet. But the normal ones that are taught are squeezing your thumb and middle finger together, pinching the fold of skin in between your thumb and your index finger. Now, there's nothing special about these points. They can be anywhere you want them to be. The key is that you don't want to be firing them accidentally. Now, it doesn't matter if you do fire them accidentally, it just weakens the response over time. So you choose an anchor point, whatever works for you, and then you hold that anchor point for maybe 7 or 8 or 9 seconds until the intensity of that emotional feeling and the picture on the screen of your mind diminishes. Now, if you're experiencing the emotion at the time that you're creating the anchor, you actually need to hold the anchor point for much longer, maybe about 2 minutes. But if you're doing it from a memory, as I've just instructed you to, then you do it for about 9 or 10 seconds until the image begins to fade. But because you're doing it from a memory, you need to repeat the anchoring process 5 or 6 times. Now, you can do it with the same experience, although it's best if you can come up with different events from your past where you felt that emotion. So if I was working with a client in person, I would say to them, now, can you remember another time when you felt totally determined and totally successful? Do you remember a specific time? Go back to that time now. Go right back to that time. Float down into your body and see whatever you saw. Hear whatever you heard. And really feel those feelings of being totally successful, totally determined. Now make the image sharper. Make the colours brighter. Make the sounds clearer. And double the intensity of those feelings of success and determination. And then, when they're at the peak of the intensity of that experience, you would get them to anchor that feeling with the unique gesture. And so on. Now, it's interesting, all anchors are context specific. So you can use the same anchor point for every anchor. Now, let's say you anchored feelings of confidence and feelings of motivation to exercise onto the same anchor point, and you were going for a job interview. So you walk in and you sit down in front of the interviewer and you fire your anchor secretly. You wouldn't suddenly get the urge to rush off to the gym and start exercising. Your whole neurology would be full of feelings of confidence. Now, the other thing that you can do with anchors is to create what's called a resource anchor. And this is the process of stacking a series of resourceful emotional states onto the same spot. And the purpose of doing this is to trigger a totally empowered state immediately in any situation where you may have previously felt challenged. Now, the states to work with are feelings of being totally powerful, totally playful, totally loved, falling over laughing, and massively confident. So just go through the process again and anchor all these in on one specific point. And now you'll have a resource anchor that you can just fire whenever you need a little bit of support. Now, the final thing that I want to look at from NLP is the emotional state triangle. If you're feeling unhappy on your weight reduction program or experiencing some other negative emotional feelings, the real truth is that you're actually choosing to feel this way, and you can choose to feel differently. Any emotional state can be achieved instantly. Now, you can use the anchoring technique that I've just explained, but you should also bear in mind what's called the emotional state triangle or triad. Your emotional states can be altered by changing just one of three things: your focus, your physiology, or your internal dialogue. Now, by focus, what I mean is your goals, the things that you're aiming for. So that's why it's important to always have a list of goals that you want to achieve in your life, because it alters your focus. By physiology, I mean the way that you're holding your body, your posture, and your breathing. If you're sat at a table with your head in between your hands, then you're going to be breathing shallowly. And when you're in that sort of position, it's almost impossible to feel happy. But if you were to sit up and put a big grin on your face, take some deep breaths in, it would actually be very difficult to feel sad while you're doing that. And by internal dialogue, I mean the thoughts that are going on in your mind. We've already discussed internal dialogue and how in most people 77% of it is really negative. It's very, very easy to change your thoughts. And just by replacing your negative thoughts with the thought, I can do it, that will change your emotional state. So if you change any one of these three factors, your focus, your physiology, or your internal dialogue, then you'll change your emotional state. And if you change all three things, then you'll have a massive effect on your emotional state. Now, some people say that it's possible to be happy all of the time using this process. I disagree. I would say that it's possible to be happy 95% of the time using this process. It's very powerful. It's very liberating. So just remember, your emotional state is governed by your focus, your physiology and your internal dialogue. Now, there's one final thing to say about happiness. A lot of people have the belief that when they're successful, they'll be happy. But that's the wrong way round. Success never comes before happiness. It's happy people that become successful. Your main guiding principle in your life should be your own happiness. Now, some people say that this is selfish, but it's not. You can't give to somebody else what you haven't got. If you're not happy, then the people around you won't be happy. Now, there's two more techniques that I want to share with you, and they are not NLP techniques, but they are very powerful techniques for controlling cravings. The first technique is the WHE technique. That's spelled W-H-E-E, and it stands for Holistic Hybrid of EMDR and EFT. This technique was developed by the psychologist Dan Benaur over in North America. It's a combination of EMDR, which stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. You don't need to remember that. The technique was developed by Francine Shapiro, an American psychologist. And in 1987, she observed during a walk in a park that moving her eyes from side to side seemed to reduce the stress of disturbing memories. Now, based on these initial observations, she developed a standardized procedure to maximize these effects, and it's now accepted as a genuine psychological tool for helping people overcome trauma. Now, EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. This was developed by Gary Craig, and it's a technique that uses tapping on the acupuncture points while a patient focuses on a specific traumatic memory or emotion. It's supposed to manipulate the energy field around the body, and some psychologists would put it at the far end of psychological techniques. It was developed from TFT, or thought field therapy, and that was developed by Roger Callahan. Now, TFT is the technique that Paul McKenna teaches in all his weight loss programs and in his weight loss books. EFT seems to be more powerful than TFT, and the combination of EMDR and EFT together is even more powerful. WHE is a very simple technique to learn, and I can teach you now in just a few minutes. It takes a fraction of the time that EFT requires, really, really flexible, and can work on any target problem, not just weight loss. It's really rapid, it's very empowering, and it's simple to use. Now, you have to learn an affirmation to use with this technique. It's a very short affirmation. The affirmation is, even though I have this craving for chocolate, or this anxiety or panic, I completely and totally love and accept myself. And that's it. Now, you can make this even stronger if you've got a religious or spiritual bias. You could add the words, and I know that God loves and accepts me unconditionally. Or I know that the universe loves and accepts me unconditionally. But just using the first sentence, even though I have this, whatever it is, I completely and totally love and accept myself. And what you do is to repeat this affirmation to yourself for a couple of minutes whilst you're using bilateral stimulation of your body. Now, traditionally, this was tapping either side of the bridge of the nose, but you can do what's called a butterfly hug, where you just tap your hands on your opposing biceps, or you can cross your hands over and tap the opposite knees. You can even just touch your tongue on one side of the roof of your mouth and then on the other side. So it's bilateral stimulation of your body coupled with the affirmation, and you'll find that your craving, or whatever emotion it is that you're wanting to reduce, will gradually decline as you do this process. Now, the way that you measure this is by using what's called SUDS, subjective units of distress. So before you start the process off, you measure your craving on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is hardly no craving at all, and 10 is a really, really powerful craving. And then you say the affirmation and do the bilateral touching for a couple of minutes, and then you measure the level of your craving again on that same scale, and you should find that it's dropped by 1 or 2 points. So you might have started at a 9 and you go down to a 7, and then you repeat the process. If you do this several times, you should find that you go from a 9 right down to 1 or 0 and the craving has gone. Now, it also works well with all sorts of emotions, and it even works with pain. So let's say you've got a craving for chocolate. The basic affirmation would be, even though I have this craving for chocolate, I completely and totally love and accept myself. You repeat that while engaging in the bilateral tapping, and you'll find that the craving reduces. Now, if you find you get stuck at a 4 or a 5, don't panic. The technique will still work. All you need to do is to go to the release point. Now, the release point is the tender point that you can locate about halfway along your collarbone. There's a little dimple there. And you just massage that for a couple of minutes. You don't need to repeat the affirmation or do anything else. Just massage that point and then go back to using the affirmation and doing the bilateral tapping, and you'll find that you'll move down another point or two. So that's the we technique that we've got Dr. Dan Benor to be thankful for. Now, there is a craving buster from TFT, Thought Field Therapy, and Paul McKenna uses this technique. It's good fun to watch on the stage. I'll run through it very, very quickly, but you'll see how complex it is compared to Dan Benor's we technique. So what you would do is, firstly, to focus on the food or drink that you're craving for the moment. You rate your craving on a scale of 1 to 10, as before. And now take two fingers, your index finger and your middle finger, and just tap 10 times firmly above one of your eyes. And now you tap under the eye 10 times. And now you tap under your collarbone 10 times. You keep thinking about the food or drink that you're craving, and tap under your armpit 10 times. You now place your other hand in front of you and tap gently on the back of it, between the knuckles of your ring finger and your little finger, and you do that 10 times. Now you close your eyes and then open your eyes. Keep tapping and look down to your right, and then look down to your left. Keep tapping and rotate your eyes 360 degrees clockwise. And now rotate your eyes 360 degrees anti-clockwise. Still thinking about the food or drink that you were craving, hum out loud the first few lines of Happy Birthday or Jingle Bells. Now count out loud from 1 to 5. And now, once again, hum out loud Happy Birthday or Jingle Bells. And now stop and check on that scale of 1 to 10 where your craving's gone down to. And if it hasn't completely gone, you go through the entire sequence again until the craving goes away. Now, guess which technique I prefer? The we technique's really simple, doesn't take very long at all, and is easily remembered. So I hope you found all these tips and information useful, and I hope you'll enjoy the rest of the CDs in this series. This CD is the only one where I talk about techniques. The other CDs in the series all involve hypnosis, and you'll go into a hypnotic trance. And hypnosis really is the quickest way to reprogram your mind, get rid of old habits, and install new healthy eating habits. So I look forward to meeting you again on the next CD.